But our Democrat of the day for today is one of our favorites. Jamie Becker Finn is representative for 42B. She's the chair of the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee, as well as the Environmental. She's on the Environmental and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee. We've talked to her many times about many different things, but she's kind enough to join us today as Democrat of the day. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, always happy to join you.
Well, thank you. And I will, you and I have actually talked quite a bit here over the last year about the chronic wasting disease because, Rick Hansen, Representative Rick Hansen, we've talked with you guys about this. We've talked about the fight you've been putting out there. I know the Bluestem Prairie had a story here about Minnesota Board of Animal Health, the chronic wasting disease endemic area update, which does have four areas of the state which they're keeping an eye on right now, up in Crow Wing County, south of the metro area, and the very southeastern part of the state among them. How is that fight going right now to try to get chronic wasting disease, at least keep fighting it here in the state of Minnesota?
Yeah, well, I mean, we still face some challenges in the legislature. You know, for the past, well, the whole time I've been in office, you know, I'm going on year six in the legislature. You know, it's really been the House, and it's been, you know, myself and Representative Hansen and others on the House side that have really, been sticking with the science and listening to hunters. And it's really sort of been sort of the obstinance that we're used to seeing with the Senate when it comes to anything, really. But it's really been borne out here where there's this goofy thing where they do where they paint it as a farming issue when we're talking about people who are, you know, either raising deer to sell their urine or are raising sort of these monster bucks that are sort of genetically weird for people to pay to shoot. So
yeah.
I don't know about you, but that does not sound like a farmer to me. But that's sort of how this issue has been painted and why it's been such a challenge for us to do more about it.
Well, and that's also, let's just call it as it is. You know, there's a lot of people, it's like, how dare you try to save me for myself? And you're like, really? I mean, seriously, really? You know, if it's your industry, if it's your business, if it's your bread and butter, for goodness sakes, you'd think you'd have an interest here. And once again, when you look at these maps, I mean, Crow Wing County, that's hunting territory. The southeastern part of the state is great hunting down there. You know, it's going, I mean, if we don't get this under control, it's going to blow up and we're going to end up, I mean, the impact is going to be far more than to a handful of specialized deer farmers, if they want to call themselves that. But it's going to be to everyone who hunts in the state. And we can't see that kind of economic hit here in Minnesota.
Right. And I think the important thing to remember with that, too, is, you know, it's often seen as a rural Minnesota thing because the hunting actually occurs in the rural areas. But the reality is that deer hunters live in every single county of the state. And the county with the most deer hunters is actually Hennepin County because it's the most populated. And there are plenty of folks who travel up north and down to the southeast to do their deer hunting. So we'll keep fighting. And I think we've made progress over the years and we'll continue to push to, you know, hopefully we can still stop this before it really takes over the whole herd in the state.
Let's go here and move away necessarily from chronic wasting disease, but let's look at last year a little bit here. I mean, it's been a little bit since you guys were in session. Talk a little bit about what happened last year, what you felt it was a good accomplishment for you.
Yeah, I had a really good year. we have a really young House caucus, particularly the House DFL, you know, we have a lot of first and second term members. So, you know, as a third term member, there are a lot of things that I've been able to work on and be successful with. And obviously last year was my first year chairing the Judiciary Committee. But, you know, some really important wins too have been, on the side of, so the Healthy Start Act is one of the most meaningful bills that I've worked on. And that's making sure that we are respecting moms and people who are pregnant while they are incarcerated and making sure that babies really have, you know, they're not being punished and that we're giving families really the greatest chance to be successful moving forward and to be healthy. And that work's been really important because, you know, you'd think our state would be further along, but I mean, we are still, women are still giving birth and having to hand off their babies at 3 days old or even younger. And we've now changed that in Minnesota. That's no longer the way it works in our state. So that's been an especially meaningful and impactful bill that I've worked on.
One of the things as we look towards this upcoming year, it was interesting. I saw the Senate Republicans had their little, you know, dog and pony show yesterday. We already know tax cuts for the wealthy.
With a traffic sign.
Yeah, it's like when your imagery for your press conference is a caution sign, it's called truth in advertising right there. But one of the things I want to talk a little bit about here is as much as they're going to try to push their agenda, you guys got an agenda there. You're working on some things with the Judiciary Committee in regard to funding public defense. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think really important for folks to realize is that we have a constitutional duty as states to fund our public defense system. We have, U.S. Supreme Court cases saying that a person has a right to counsel when their liberty is being threatened as part of a criminal case. And so it's really as judiciary chair, it is the one thing that I am absolutely required to make a priority, and that's what we're doing this year. So I've introduced legislation to actually fund our public defense system so that it meets, the standards, the national standards for caseloads and, number of staff so that we can be giving people the, the defense that they deserve to have. And another piece of that has been I also have a bill to fully fund our civil legal system. So, again, we've underfunded these things so drastically for so long, and we have this budget surplus, and this is really an opportunity to truly, kind of right the wrong and make sure that our systems really are allowing folks to access justice, whether they're wealthy or not.
We've seen in some states, I don't know how bad it is here, but I've seen in some states where people end up sitting in prison for years just because they can't afford the legal fees and the court fees because of the way the systems are set up here. When it comes to the funding of public defense here, I'm presuming we still have public defenders, but imagine their caseloads must be obnoxious.
Yeah, they're really not sustainable. It isn't just about it's about the public defenders and like the people who do the work, the attorneys and the staff who do the work. But it's really about, if it was your friend or your loved one who, let's remember, this is at the point where somebody is charged with a crime. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are guilty of the crime. That's a, founding principle of our justice system is that you are innocent until proven guilty. And if you aren't given an attorney to help you make your case in the most fair way possible, that's a pretty big deal. And so that's really what we're talking about is making sure that even if you don't have the funds, our constitution and our laws in this country really require that, that the state provide that to you. And so that's what our focus is. And it really, it impacts every part of the state. And there's not one person listening who doesn't have a friend or family member who relied on a public defender or help from legal aid at some point in their life. And that's why we're making this such a big priority.
It's interesting when you compare that to what we did hear from the Senate Republicans yesterday. I mean, it does lead me to wonder if there is going to how much reception you're going to get up in the Senate. I mean, there obviously consolidation happens when we do get these bills together. But at the same time, they're up there. They're talking about, mandatory minimums. They're talking about locking kids up for extended periods of time. They're talking about, God forbid that if, someone doesn't a county prosecutor in Hennepin or Ramsey County doesn't, hold people indefinitely, if they possibly can. I mean, there definitely seems to be a very authoritative, almost militaristic style of crime bill that they're proposing here. What you're doing is compassion, making sure the system's fair. It just doesn't seem like the Senate Republicans are on that same playing card, that they're trying to utilize the rise in crime and these carjackings that have happened to basically push through a very obnoxious crime bill.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that if our goal was actually to keep people safe and our goal was to actually, correct things, then we would look at the evidence-based practices of how we do that, how we prevent crime, how we, how we stop it before it even starts, how you sort of disrupt those cycles. And the reality is that, Representative Frazier's bill invests in those things. We're almost at a point where there are some folks who almost want there to be higher crime so that they can sort of sell this fear narrative to Minnesotans. And the reality is that if we all want our communities to be safer, that's a shared value we all have, that every single person in our community should be safe. And I think, If we're serious about actually reaching that goal, then we need to look at the evidence-based things that get us there and invest in those. It's really that simple.
Your district here, 42B, let me see if I remember it correctly. At Roseville, Shoreview, Little Canada, Gem Lake, and Vadnais Heights, correct?
Very good.
Thank
for
you.
Now. I mean, we'll see February 15th what my district is. But yes, that has been my district for since I first went into office.
Well, it's such a great district, too. I love going up in that part of the metro. It is a lot of fun up there. Okay, so I want to give you put one out here. What do you want to champion for 42B directly?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of our priorities as a caucus are really in line with the priorities of my constituents. And, I'm one of those people who actually likes door knocking, and so now that I'm fully vaccinated and boosted, I am looking forward to having more of those face-to-face conversations. But I think, the reality is that people, the paid family leave, earned sick and safe time, like all those kinds of things are the things that help, every family thrive, and those are the things that I am working on for my constituents as well as, really what we've seen throughout the pandemic, and most of us with kids especially knew this, but also our public schools and the educators and the folks who work there, and making sure they are supported in the best way that we can, because that is our schools are the heart of our community, and that's where we need to have our focus.
Glad you brought that up, too, because your district has got some great schools in it. And let's just face it, I mean, next to the medical profession, which has just been run ragged over the last 2 years, the schools, not only have they been run ragged, having to try to develop learning programs on the fly, but now you have, aggressive far-right parents and narratives that are being thrown at them, yelling parents constantly. It's very ungratifying. I mean, we have to protect the parents, because let's face it, the public school system, not only in the United States, but here in Minnesota, is exceptional. And a lot of that has to do with the teachers and what they're bringing to the table. They deserve better than what they've been getting.
Right. And I think you've seen in Roseville, my kids go to Roseville Public Schools, and we have a great school board and great teachers. And, we see people who don't live in the school district, don't have kids in the school district, who, come to kind of bring this really hateful, kind of rhetoric to our school board meetings. And, we also passed our referendum with the highest vote of anywhere in the state this last year. And
nice.
So, what's borne out to me is that the people who actually live here and the majority of Minnesotans want to support their public schools, and we're going to keep doing that.
So you had those clowns that went down to, and I'll call them clowns, that's me saying it, the clowns that went to the Lakeville School District, the Burnsville School District, the Chaska School District, they showed up in Roseville then, huh?
Well, who knows? The reality is it's these groups online that are just firing people up with
wow.
the same kind of, hateful rhetoric. But like I said, we have a really great school board, and they're doing the right things and making the right decisions for our kids. And so that's been really heartening, even if their jobs are much harder than they used to be.
Roseville's a fantastic school district. Absolutely top notch there. So we'll find out the magic of what your district's going to look like here in just a few weeks. But you are running for re-election. I want to drive people to your website. Obviously, volunteer, donate if you can, because leadership like Jamie Becker Finn just does not come by every single day. It is truly something we need to have. We need to have in St. Paul. It makes Minnesota better having Jamie Becker Finn in the Capitol. That's for sure. So, Representative, if people want to find your website, where can they find that at?
So super easy. It's just BeckerFinn.org. There is a hyphen in the middle. It's BECKER-FINN.org. I'm pretty sure I'm the only, my family, my husband and my kids and I are the only Becker Finn. So if you do a quick Google, I'm not hard to find.
But you're not the only Finn who is a politician. Skip Finn was your dad, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Senate District 4 for many years, I believe, in the north part of the state.
Yep. Northern Minnesota. Yep. Calf Lake, Bemidji, Weeks Lake area.
Oh, nice. Well, you see, continuing the legend, I'll tell you what, it is great representation. Jamie Becker Finn is the leader we need to have in St. Paul. So once again, Becker-Finn, BECKER-FINN.org. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Representative, you always have a window on my show. Please come back whenever you like.
Awesome. Thank you, Matt.
Take care. Representative Jamie Becker Finn, kind enough to join us, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.